and I'm here with Jim Gavin, one of the founders of the British Lawnmower Racing Association. So tell me, Jim, how did this glorious sport all start?
I wouldn't have ever called it glorious, but it's certainly a chuckle. I was involved in motorsport almost since I could walk, and I came to England to see if I could get it out of my system, because there wasn't enough motorsport in Ireland. So I gave myself a year working as a race mechanic with Chris Lawrence, who used to race Morgans and did all sorts of other cars. But when the year was up, I was having so much fun, and Lawrence Tune had gone belly up. But I didn't go home. We started rallying cars, and with a couple of the other guys, we built our own rally company. Anyway, as time went on, I started getting interested in travel more. And I did the first London to Sydney marathon in 68. Then I got into the organising side and started doing work for the Royal Automobile Club, who ran motorsport. And I went off on the London, Mexico. That was 16,000 miles. I went to Russia to talk about something or other. I drove overland to India, planning another London to Sydney for them, and then we got involved in the first Trans-Sahara rally before the Paris-Dakar was ever even thought of, and that was a double crossing in the Sahara, and I went off. I was away, and I worked on that for about a year, and the reconnaissance took about 2.5 months. We drove across to Nigeria and then back up through the Western Sahara. Anyway, the cars we used to use in those days for the reconnaissance trips were tough competition cars from Ford at the Ford competition department, and I would drive out there with my own car, leave it there, pick up something they'd prepared for whatever reconnaissance we were doing, whether it was in South America or overland to India or the Sahara. Anyway, in one such event, I'd come home to Wisborough Green with the car, and it was sitting outside the pub. So we had this Ford competition car sitting outside the pub, and me, who's just come back from places. So that was a long time ago. That was 1973. So there were lots of guys my own age then, and were sitting around and saying, God, what a wonderful trip to have done, and we like to do that. And motorsport now is getting so expensive. And funny enough, that was in 73, only 2 or 3 years after John Player Gold Leaf Team Lotus had started the big sponsorship deal. And there were a lot of people who were totally against sponsorship in motorsport. But it had come in, and prices started to go up. So somebody in the pub said, would it not be possible to start another form of motorsport? Or is there any form of motorsport where there is no sponsorship? And someone said, well, yeah, there's mini racing. But they were all getting very expensive. Now, there was a chap called David Nagel. He's the fellow that gives the silver teapot. There was a chap called Paddy Riley. He's dead. Alan Fletcher, Ian Saunders, the cricket at the pub, and me sitting around. So we're looking out on this beautiful evening, watching lawnmowers on the green. Alan Fletcher said to Paddy Riley, do you remember we saw in Monty Python some lawnmowers? Paddy said, yeah. Somebody else said, well, why don't we race lawnmowers? And we all thought that was a capital idea and drank more beer. I went home and wrote a set of rules, because I was elected as I was the fellow involved in motorsport. We then put up a notice in the pub saying the first British Grand Prix for lawnmowers would be held, and we borrowed a field up at Cold Harbour, Murphy, Bill Murphy's field. So to this day it's known as Murphy's Field. It's also there that we ran the first six or seven 12-hour races. As I said, we put a notice in the pub for Premier Grand Prix for British Grand Prix for lawnmowers, and something like 50 of them turned up, all shapes and sizes, men, women, children, numbers on them. They had a ball. We had a great time. We ran about 5 or 6 races on the Saturday afternoon, went down to the pub and had a prize giving. And to keep the cost down, now no sponsorship, no cash prizes, and to give you an idea of how irreverent it was, first prize in some class was, say, a cabbage, and second prize was 2 cabbages, or a bunch of cucumbers, or mixed fruit, or some stupid thing, or, you know, that kind of thing. And it was such fun that we said, come on, let's do it again. And that's how it started. Then the next village, Dorking, started it. Then somebody else started. And we firmed up on the rules. But they're still the same rules, safety, and you can't modify the engines. That keeps the price down. Because we had a hell of a lot of cheating in the first few days. Oliver Reed, the chap, he's dead now. he went off and he got some race preparation fella to build an engine, and you knew it was modified. It was running, the damn thing was running on methanol. You could smell it, you know. Flowers were falling over when it passed. Somebody else had put some other, and of course we were banning people at first. We'd let them do that race, but they could never appear again. But it grew and grew and grew, and then we ran the 12-hour race, and then the commercialism tried to creep in. I can remember Castrol, I opened a letter one day from Castrol, and it had a cheque for £500 to Jim Gavin saying, we'd like to donate for your lawnmower race, and but we'd like it to be called in future the Castrol race, and we'd be sending you a load of Castrol arrows and things like that. And they couldn't believe it when I sent the cheque back. You know, here with your cheque, it's blah blah blah, we don't want commercialism in it. They rang up and they said, no, you don't understand, it's for you. I said, well, you can stick it up your nose.
And that's held true to this day, isn't it?
Yeah, and all those prizes you see out there, those cups, I got them over the years from local jewellers. You go in and say, have you got any old cups? And there'd be a cricket cup, there was a rugby cup. Alan Brown, who's a racing driver, he used to race in the era of Mike Hawthorne. He lived in Bramley. He had that big Rose Bowl. He gave me that one day, and we still have it. And the names on it are, again, Derek Bell, Sterling Moss, Mike Wiles, Domenico Alicia, David Purley, famous racing drivers, as well as Andy Stemp, Trevor Stemp, Doug Downs, guys that are good.
That brings me on to a little rumour I heard to do with Derek Bell's last win in the 12-hour. I'm given to understand that throughout the night, a certain Peter Geffing and a David Purley snuck onto the car for a battle.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. They were always in for devilment.
But we'll allow that to stand in the midst of time.
Oh, right? Hell yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
I didn't care as long as they were having fun.
Indeed. Thank you very much indeed for your time, Jim. That's been brilliant.